Ricky Terrell of All Hallowed meets the antidote for a chat. Ricky, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, you may be the one that's here for this talk, but All Hallowed isn't just you. So why not fill us in about the other band members?
We are a three-piece band with just bass, vocals, and drums. Our drummer's name is Nick Sheff, and our vocalist is Jenna Vallon.
But you have had a switch-up with band members.
Correct, yeah. We started with Lacey Terrell on vocals. We, at the time when we started the band, were married. Multiple, I guess, relationships kind of ended, and personal relationships. So we looked for a new vocalist, and Jenna was an old friend who I've probably known for 22 to 25 years. I've known her for a while. She was from the Dayton area original and was moving back from Chicago right around that transition. So it worked out really well having her move into the vocalist spot.
You realize how you're dating yourself because you've admitted how long you've known Jenna for.
For sure, yeah.
So whose idea was it to start the band?
I think it was probably a little bit of Lacey's. Her and I were in a band previously for about a decade. It was called Starving in the Belly of the Whale. And it was a very slow, I don't know, like moody, eerie folk band. It was her, me, and we had a cellist and a person that played musical saw. The instrumentation were acoustic guitar, theremin, musical saw, cello, and some percussion from time to time. And during COVID, we just started having some conversations, and she was wanting to do some more upbeat music. So we decided to kind of take things in a totally different direction from long, slow folk songs, and just to kind of just do some short, fast songs. And that's how we ended up with the All Hallowed musical direction.
The first EP from All Hallowed released in 2020. What was the biggest challenge about putting that together?
That was during all of the COVID conversations, the pandemic. I think the biggest challenge was just finding the time within everyone's schedules to get together to get all the recording set. So on the first EP, Aaron Gillespie, who is the drummer in Under Oath and the vocalist in the Almost. I think professional musicians had a lot of extra time on their hands due to they weren't touring, they weren't playing shows. So we were able to work with him remotely from his studio in Salt Lake City. And he recorded the drums for us. And Lacey and I did our parts around kind of COVID restrictions at Micah Carley, who is the guitarist in Hawthorne Heights at his studio here in Troy, Ohio, which is about probably 20 minutes north of the city from where we live. So yeah, just kind of meeting everyone's schedules where we could get stuff accomplished and then sending files back and forth. So I think the biggest challenge for me was probably just the patience of sitting back. No one was working at the time, so my brain never stops working. So I was ready to get this stuff going, but being patient for everyone else where they were with their lives and their careers during that time.
I can totally understand where you're coming from. My patience level is zero.
Oh, yeah. When I have something that needs to be done, I'm like, let's get it done. What are we like?
So that EP had the darkest song titles, Lost, Hell, Haunt, Kill. And I know that was during COVID, but wasn't there any brightness?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's always brightness in dark things. I usually like to think about how, like, I mean, most things are just human experience. Like, if it's good or bad, that's all part of the human experience. Like, we can't just focus on everything being great all the time, having our emotions in check, not being sad, not being upset, not being angry. All those are emotions that we have to have, just like the happy emotions, the emotions of being in love. There are always those counter emotions. So, yeah, I think it's really important that people focus on, I don't want to say the bad stuff, but I mean, focus on the darker things. Focus on that, like you named the titles of all of the songs, Error and Sin, Haunt, Hell, like all those things are things that we need to be thinking about, not just the happy things in our lives, but there's I think that's the zombies. Isn't there a zombie song that's probably some book in Ecclesiastes, The Time of the Season? Is that right. The song I'm thinking of? So I think there's a time and place for everything.
Does this mean that you're also into horror movies and dark films?
I like horror movies. I don't like gore and slasher stuff. Like, that just like grosses me out. I have no tolerance. I feel like I like more like psychological thrillers. Anything that is like spiritual based, like Rosemary's Baby is amazing. The Witch, like a newer movie, that's amazing. But I can't get into like the Rob Zombie Texas Chainsaw Massacres, like the Saw movies. Those just, I can't do gore and that stuff.
I'm with you on that one. Now, I did mention the All Hallowed song Kill, and the song says, "Don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but they cannot kill your soul." So now you need to tell me something. What or who can kill your soul?
I think it's just important, as someone that myself, speaking for myself, not the full band, and Lacey is the person that wrote that lyric. Both of us are Christians, and I think as someone that follows the teachings of Jesus, it's just important to remember, like, our souls live forever. Like, we don't have bodies, we have souls. So your soul is going to be in existence somewhere for the rest of eternity. So no matter what happens to you, the good stuff, the bad stuff, that is only temporary.
Well, here's something else. Can people have an evil soul?
Oh, man. I don't know. Is there a good or bad? Is it just how you are? I mean, I think that's one of the other things I would go back to. Like, is it good or bad, like evil or good, or is it just, I don't know. That's a great question.
Something to ponder about for the rest of the
yeah.
day. I've seen All Hallowed described as raw, fuzzed out garage punk band. Is a label like that kind of limiting?
I think labels are good because it allows you to know how to work like inside of your genre. So I know with, even when we were in Starving the Belly of the Whale, even with All Hallowed, we always worked with like, what are the parameters of the music? Inside of those parameters, we can do whatever we want to do. But what is going to be the box that the band fits into? And I know for All Hallowed, the parameters that we have set up, and we've kind of stayed true to those, we have no songs that are going to be longer than 2 minutes and 29 seconds. That is the max length of an All Hallowed song. All of the songs will be written in the key of A minor. So all of them will only be in A minor. Visually, all of our aesthetics, keeping everything black and white. So I think having the genre, having that box to stay inside, it allows you to expand what you want to do, but still stay true to what your band sounds like. Because everyone that's in a band, we all come with lots of different influences. And I think that was the thing, like, I learned from being in bands in high school. Like, you'd start a band in high school and you had like one guy that was like really into Blink-182, and then another guy that was like really into Disturbed, and the other guy that was like really into Creed. And then you write 10 songs and every two songs sounds like a totally different band. So how do we create these parameters where, as long as we stick inside of this box, we are going to sound like All Hallowed. We're going to sound like the band where we're creating music.
You realize that all of those parameters really makes you unfriendly to radio. Radio yeah. wants like 3.5 minutes,
yeah.
bright, poppy, cheery songs. You're doing the opposite.
Very true.
But the reason I did bring that up is that I went on a hunt and I found that Elvis Costello and the Attractions are listed as one of All Hallowed top influences. Now, does that explain why you brought in a new wave style on songs like Blame and especially on Alone? Was that kind of sound special to you?
I think that's probably another one of those examples of like having those parameters. Because I know for me, I wouldn't really say that Elvis Costello and the Attractions would be a influence of All Hallowed, but that's definitely one of my biggest influences. Like, I feel like my top three would be Elvis Costello with the Attractions, those first four albums after My Aim is True, Tom Waits and the Velvet Underground are like my top three influential bands. So I think that's probably just my influences, like kind of sneaking in when I'm writing the bass lines, writing those parts of the songs. But yeah, I mean, as a whole, I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't hear Elvis Costello a lot in our music, but maybe it's there. But I think that's definitely my influences kind of bleeding through into the formula.
Well, the funny thing is that guys like Elvis Costello, he predated you. So it wasn't like you were growing up with his music.
For sure, yeah.
And when did you just discover it?
With Elvis Costello?
Yeah.
So I've had this conversation a couple times over the years. I remember I discovered Elvis Costello through MXPX. when they were releasing their album, The Ever Passing Moment. And there was this VHS that I think I purchased from like Tooth and Nail or something. And it was called It Came from Bremerton. And in there was an interview with Mike Carrera talking about how the album, I don't know if it was the album This Year's Model or just Elvis Costello and the Attractions, was a huge influence when they were writing that album. And I had never listened to Elvis Costello and the Attractions. So I went out, I remember after listening to that, going to Best Buy and looking through the CDs at Best Buy when Best Buys were like 80% CDs, and bought This Year's Model, which has probably turned into, man, top five favorite albums. I have a This Year's Model tattoo. I have like three Elvis Costello tattoos. So yeah, that was my introduction to Elvis Costello, was through MXPX. And since I've gotten older, I've kind of become friendly with Tom, the guitar player in MXPX. And he was telling me, I forget the producer that they had for My Aim Is True, but I remember him telling me that the producer gave each of them a different CD to listen to. And I remember him saying that they gave Yuri the drummer, I think it was like a Led Zeppelin CD, Mike and Elvis Costello CD. And I want to say that Tom said that he gave him like a Van Halen CD. I forget what it was, but I was just saying, like, essentially, like, I feel like this is what you guys need to listen to before we go in and start recording.
Isn't that a problem sometimes when a producer really does control the sound of the band?
Yeah,
it could be a positive, I guess, but I have seen producers destroy a band.
Yep.
Now, I know I shouldn't be asking this, but, you know, I don't really like playing by the rules. Why was All Hallowed chosen for the band name? What does it represent?
Again, when we were starting this and it was just me and Lacey, we were very adamant that we wanted a one-word band name. We wanted short songs, a short band name, one word. And the original band name was just going to be Hallows. And we signed with Friend Club Records. We were having all the conversations about releasing the first two EPs that we did on cassette. And Rob, who is the owner of Friend Club, was essentially like, hey, I love the music. I love everything about the band. He's like, but we cannot have a band called Hallows because there are like 78 other bands called Hallows.
Right.
So it was, what are some variations of this that we can settle on? And I honestly have no idea. I don't remember how we came to All Hallowed, but I know it was some conversations back and forth with Rob, with Lacey, with Micah Sedmak, who was the graphic designer who created the original logo. And it was Micah's kind of idea where we have the all hidden in the All Hallowed logo, because he knew that it was like really important to me that I wanted a one word band name. He's like, well, it's not going to be a one word band name. He's like, but at least you can have that visual aspect with the word all kind of hidden in Hallowed.
That's cool, because I have noticed that in your graphics, and the all part of Hallowed, the name, is highlighted or in a different color.
Yeah, for sure. That's Micah Sedmak was the mastermind behind that idea.
You realize how easy it is you made that for your graphic designer?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He should have given it to you for a discount.
Yeah.
So the band had a pair of releases that came out during COVID. That's so difficult for so many people during COVID, trying to piece it all together. How did you manage to do it?
I think it was just having a group of people around us who kind of believed in the music and wanted to push it out. For us, it was kind of the perfect timing for starting a new band. Like I said, there were a lot of professional musicians who weren't working as much as they normally were. So it was really easy. When we worked with Aaron, Vinny Caruana from the movie Life and I Am the Avalanche did a guest vocal for us on Lust, having Micah work on the recording process. Rob and everybody over at Friend Club, with just the internet age that we live in, for us it was just a really easy start for starting a new band. Our first release had all of these big names that were kind of in adjacent genres to what we were doing to help really get out the word about the band, which got us some coverage in Brooklyn Vegan, which was super cool, and a handful of other like magazines and websites just kind of promoting the band.
So you were doing everything remotely then?
For the most part, yeah.
That's got to be a tough thing to do, because it's so much back and forth instead of standing face to face and just talking through it.
And again, I would probably give all the credit to that with we work with a lot of Micahs. Micah Sedmak, the producer that we recorded with, we worked with him face-to-face, but I mean, he has always been amazing to work with all of the other features that we've pulled in. We had Nick Thompson from Hit the Lights do some guest vocals on EP3, our new EP that's coming out. We have Mikey from Huntington's and Jeff from 90 Pound Wuss. We've never been in the same studio as any of people. It's all just been making the connections with people and then handing them over to Micah. And somehow Micah gets all the recordings, puts them together, and we're always really happy with how he blends everything together.
The magic touch.
Yeah, for sure.
So in 2022, Give Me Mercy, the full length came out, and it included the song Hell, where it says, "A corrupt spirit drifts far away, looking for an oasis today. Unsuspecting souls, they say, living in this constant hell." Hasn't that corrupt spirit found a home? I mean, our world is becoming more messed up, I think, every day.
Yeah, I think it's really easy when you are looking around just in society, seeing just the amount of like struggles and vices and sin, corruption, people that struggle with, and seeing how those pieces of them have kind of snuck out, finding ways to emerge themselves and unfortunately cause some mass destruction.
And we're refusing to let your president take over our country, Canada.
That's what I've heard.
Another track from the full length was Error and Sin. And part of the song brings up, "The human spirit will not even begin to surrender self." Error and sin both have this design. The deeper they are, the less their victims will fight. I mean, what brought that song out?
I haven't written any of the lyrics for All Hallowed.
Oh, you're a part-timer.
For sure. Yeah. All of the lyrics on Give Me Mercy, I would say 90% of those were written by Lacey. The new songs, probably 92% of those were written by Jenna. But I at least know the way that, like, I'm interpreting those song lyrics, like the lyric that you just said from Aronson. I love the fact that that's one of the lyrics that you picked out, because I've always said that is probably one of my favorite All Hallowed lyrics. I love that. But I mean, I think for me, it's just really important to think about how we are always struggling internally with like the good and the bad. We are always struggling. I think that's just part of the human experience. Like, we are all horrible people capable of horrible things. And we have to keep ourselves in check. We have to keep ourselves with friend groups, with whatever that is, of people that are going to hold us accountable, people that are going to say like, "Hey, this isn't appropriate. How are we going to get ourselves back in line?" So I think we definitely, as humans, we are all destined to sin. We're all destined to fall incredibly short of helping all those people around us that we love and that we should be able to stand up for.
Good point. We've been looking at some of the previous stuff from All Hallowed. And of course, you've mentioned that you have something new coming out. February 28th, EP3 hit the market. I'm going to be mean here. Did you struggle thinking up the title for the EP?
Yeah, it was pretty tough, actually. So, well, it was weird that you say that, because the first EP was just All Hallowed. The second one was EP2. And when Jenna got in the band, there were some discussions back and forth about putting a name to it. But we'd already had the discussions. Like, we've already started working on the full length. We probably have most of those songs completely written for the full length. We haven't recorded them yet. We've kind of talked about tweaking a few things, maybe adding one, taking something out. But just in the spirit of how the first couple EPs were and those songs were on Give Me Mercy, we are going to have these five songs that are on EP3 when we do a full length. They will be part of however many songs are going to be on the full length. So there were some discussions back and forth on, should we give these five songs a title or should we leave the title up to the full length? And just kind of going back and forth, we just decided to stay with EP3, because that is historically what the band had done with the other EPs. But yeah, there was actually a discussion. It wasn't just, "Hey, EP3, this is the name." That was definitely a deliberation band discussion we had over a couple weeks. We pulled in some other people to get their opinions, and we landed on three.
Well, you're in good company, because bands like 68, I know, have struggled massively to try to name anything. He wasn't even going to name the songs. It was just going to be blank.
Yep.
And then, of course, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, you know, just ran through the numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. pretty easy.
All Hallowed really is a true punk band. That's because of the length of the songs that you've mentioned. But being so short, you know, EP3, 5 songs and just 10 minutes long. So you really do want songs that get to the point. So it never needs fleshing out?
I don't even think it's like the fact that the songs, I mean, again, that is a parameter that we had kind of set as a band, 2 minutes and 29 seconds. But we definitely do try to make sure that even though the songs are short, like we want them to make sure that there is a journey. We want to make sure that they are structured. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of songs are just structured. You have the typical like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. Sometimes when you're working with shortened songs, sometimes the structure gets a little off. But that's one thing that we have always been very pleasantly surprised with, is it's been very rare that we have finished a song and it has actually been over that 2 minute and 29 second mark. We were working on our last rehearsal last week. We kind of like flushed out a new song that we've been working on. We got the structure down and we were feeling like, man, what is the time on this one to be? There are 3 verses. We do the chorus twice. There is a bridge. There's like an intro and an outro. And we were very worried, like, man, we're going to really be pushing that 2 minutes and 29 seconds. I'm actually pulling it up. And the song so far is 1 minute and 33 seconds. So we were, and it's funny that you mentioned Blame. Blame is another one of those songs that when we recorded that, we were really worried because that's another one. It has 3 verses, I think 3 choruses, a double chorus, a bridge. Like, man, we are really going to be pushing the 2 minutes and 29 second mark. And that's another one that's under 2 minutes. Like we're not even close. So it's, I think at this point in the band, we've honestly really gotten, I don't know. We never really struggle with even getting close to that. I know there were a couple times when we were recording the first EP, the first time we did it. And I know Micah just did some studio magic. And I kind of told him like, hey, this song is 2 minutes and 42 seconds. It needs to be under 2:30. Just make it happen. I don't care how it happens. Just cut some stuff off. And I don't even remember what those original versions sound like, but I know Kill and Lust, those two songs specifically, were over 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And Micah moved some stuff around and got him under 2:30 for us.
Oh, perfect. Great to have somebody like that.
Oh, yeah. And that's like I said, that's kind of how it's happened. Like when we can't get under it, I just let him. Like, hey, I don't know how you're going to do this. Just make it happen. Like, I'll be happy with it.
You had some guests on the new album. I'm a big fan of Huntington's. They've been on The Antidote twice. So I was really pleased to see that you brought in Mikey Huntington as a guest on the song Ghost. Are you friends with Mikey? How did it all get arranged?
We have, well, I guess we, me, and actually Nick. Nick and I go way back to, we played in a bunch of like punk emo bands through high school. We've known the Huntingtons for, I would say, since the late 90s, early 2000s. Mikey, Cliffy, Josh, and there's always kind of like a rotating door of drummers they have had. I've never met Chris, the new drummer, yet. So, but yeah, we have known those guys forever, did shows with them, our old bands. We would always do like regional runs of shows with them whenever they're in the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Michigan area. I would always do shows with them. So yeah, we've known those guys for going on 2.5, 3 decades, which is crazy to think about.
Wow. All Hallowed does play quite a few shows.
Yeah, we usually try to keep all of our shows together. We usually do usually every season, try to get a month of shows, as many as we can, like back to back. Just with being an adult, having full-time jobs, we've always found it a lot easier to kind of focus on like, okay, like we are going to focus on the month of March playing shows. So everyone keep your weekends free in March. Over the summer, I work in education, so I have a lot of summers off. Nick and Jenna, both of their schedules are very easy to accommodate things for in the future. So in the summer, we usually try to do a couple weeks of shows, getting on with some larger bands just to open up. So yeah, we've always tried to do as many shows as we can.
Mikey Huntington wasn't the only guest on EP3. Jeff Suffering of 90 Pound Wuss joined Jenna on Unknown. And of course, the thing that's in common with both of those guest vocalists is that they've both been part of bands popular in the Christian music scene. So does All Hallowed also fit into that genre?
I think we have unintentionally fit into that genre. I think a lot of bands that kind of happened with just from the connections that I've had from playing music through the years. We played Audio Feed once a couple of years ago. So I think it's just the connections, the subject matter of the lyrics. A lot of those can definitely be interpreted as Christian themes, I think, just depending on how you are leaning spiritually, even how you're leaning politically. I think a lot of times you can read the lyrics and kind of go either way. I know when in Starving the Belly of the Whale, Lacey and I wrote the songs about 50-50, and I don't know how many times people would have conversations with us and just ask, are you guys Christians or complete atheists? Because I can't tell from the lyrics which ways you guys are leaning on these. I was like, that's perfect. I don't know. Like, just,
that's cool. Yeah. That's a great way to do it.
When you can kind of write lyrics that, I mean, people on both extremes, like people that may consider themselves like very spiritual, and then on the other side, people that are not subscribing to this whatsoever are all connecting and getting something out of your music. That was like another thing, like I've always kind of tried to focus on since the first time Lacey and I got that feedback. It's probably been, man, like 12 years ago at this point, whenever we would be writing songs. And honestly, like, I mean, our songs probably always lean more Christian, but if it was something that was leaning more Christian, like, okay, we need to make this sound not so Christian in this spot just so we can keep up that ambiguity.
That makes you a perfect fit for Audio Feed.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
There, sure, they have overtly Christian artists, but many are on the fringe and balance, and you have to really interpret the lyrics, whatever way you're reading them.
Definitely.
Something different about EP3 is that this is your first release that you haven't made available as a cassette. Now, what's the appeal of putting music on tape?
I think the appeal was just Friend Club Records. When we were working with them, I think 2020, 2021, they were exclusively a record label that released cassettes. I know since then they have went on to vinyl. But yeah, all of the first two cassette releases were just due to the fact that Friend Club Records, they were putting out the releases and they were exclusively a record label that was doing cassettes.
Now, seriously, your own opinion, do you think there really is a difference between cassette, CDs, or vinyl?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's like, it's the same as if you are a musician. Like, I mean, there are guitars, basses, drums, like whatever your instrument is. Like, there are certain things that speak to you. Like, I mean, there are a lot of times if I need to write new songs, like I'll just buy a new guitar. And randomly, I can start writing some new songs on a new guitar and a new bass. I think it's the same with music. Like, whatever speaks to you, whatever it is that's going to make you want to sit down and listen to this album. For me, I always lean towards vinyl. That is, I mean, since high school, which for me has been 25 plus years ago. Like, I still have some records that I had in high school when vinyl wasn't popular. Yeah, I think it's just whatever speaks to you. Like, whatever is going to make you connect with the band. And I always like having something that I can hold in front of me. Like looking through the liner notes, looking at the artwork. That's one thing that always makes me sad with just streaming music. I mean, it's super easy to just sit in your car and any album you want to listen to, you can pull it up. But I just miss the artwork side of it. I miss going through the liner notes, like reading about the people in your favorite band, reading the lyrics along with the song, seeing what the band members look like. All of those were really important pieces to me when discovering music when I was younger.
So you've put out cassettes. Do you actually have a cassette deck?
Oh, no. I don't remember. Probably been,
what a guy.
When I was in high school, I had a 1993 Camaro. That was probably the last time I owned a cassette player.
Well, it's better than me because my first one actually had an 8-track player.
Nice. Yeah.
How many tapes were ripped out of the machine and tossed out the side of the road? We've got one last song for us to chat about. Deadly Mission finishes EP3. The second verse says, always trying to fit inside of a box, but the walls are pushing in on me. So let me stretch out that point. Doesn't the music industry like boxes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a really good point. We've had a lot of conversations, even with some guest feature spots that we've had, not even labels, but people trying to, I don't know, like make your music what they think it should be. That's one thing that I've always appreciated through the last 15 years of any band project I've been in, always working with Micah Carley. who records and produces all of our music. He does an amazing job of making your band just sound like a better band of what you want. Like, I mean, he gives his input, but it is always very focused on making you sound more like what you want to sound like. Not about whatever his influences are, but just making your band a better version of themselves. And I think that's really important, to surround yourself with people that are going to make your band a better version of what they already are. Like, we're not going to try to convince you to be this other band because that's what I like. I'm not going to try to convince you to bring in this other instrumentation because that's what I like. But this band, how can I help make this band the best it can be?
So now I want to hear how you define All Hallowed. Is this for just for fun, or do you actually have a focus for what you want to accomplish?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think since speaking for me personally, since I was in high school, I've always wanted to do music. Like, that has always been the main job that I've wanted. Working in the education system, I was a teacher for 8 or 9 years and supported students that had emotional disturbances. So a lot of the students that had behavior problems, I've stabbed, had poop thrown at me, a gun pointed at me. Those were the kids that I worked with. And over the last decade, I've supported teachers and campuses, principals in supporting student behavior. So I'm really passionate about that job. It's weird to me when people don't have jobs that they're passionate about doing. But music has also been one of those things for me. Like, I have always been passionate about music. I mean, if there was ever an opportunity where I could stop doing my day job, like, I would probably pick music over that. But it's been nice that I've kind of worked in a field where it gives me the availability, the schedule, where I can still focus on music. I can still take it serious for good chunks of the year, not the whole time, but I mean, I can carve out schedule my time where we're going to focus a few months every year on recording. We're going to focus 6 long weeks every year on playing shows and trying to get on some bigger tours. So it's been nice to kind of have both of those options available for me in my life.
It's great because you have the perfect balance.
Yeah.
You get to pay the bills and you get to play in the band.
Yeah.
Well, Ricky, I've really enjoyed this talk, and I got to thank you for coming to The Antidote.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.